Joe Posnanski is with us on Sports Byline, the author of the book Paterno. I'm going to quote again from an essay that you wrote in the USA Today. You said, "I was granted access to his personal notes, and there were many. I talked to some of the people close to him and also some of his harshest critics. I also talked with child sex abuse experts and legal experts to offer background and context. I read anything and everything that might give me some insight into who Joe Paterno really was." And then you asked about that question, "I searched for what was real." Was there anything that surprised you in talking to all of those people as you tried to put that picture together, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot that surprised me. I mean, this was certainly something I knew very, very little about when you're talking about specifically the scandal. One of the things that really surprised me, and it's something I like to talk about, when talking about this book, it's not an aspect of this book, because, you know, Joe Paterno, nobody's charging Joe Paterno with being involved or complicit in the actual crimes themselves. The question is how much he knew about it, and so on. But one of the things that several experts talked about is they didn't really like, and they still haven't liked, the way that so many of these victims have been sort of swept under the rug a little bit by the media, and in this way. I mean, the people have certainly written about them, but people write about these victims as if their lives are over. And one of the things that these people have really talked about is that's a real disservice to them. I mean, obviously what happened to them is horrible, but they really believe, and I'm talking about child psychologists and adult psychologists, really believe that people can go on to live very, very, you know, just great lives, even after something like this happens. And what you don't want to do is discourage people. And I think it's only important in this, well, it's important in a couple of senses, but the sense I'm thinking of is that so much of what was written about was written in one direction. And I don't think that enough was really written that to be, you know, supportive of the victims and supportive of this story. I mean, I think so much of it was geared toward Joe Paterno, so much of it was geared toward football, and obviously those are a part of the story, but they're not the main part. And I think that was a real disservice. And so that to me was one of the surprises. Obviously there were a lot of surprises about Joe Paterno himself, sort of how difficult he was to deal with as a coach, how many players really disliked him when they played for him, and many other things about him and his personality were very surprising and very interesting. And I think, you know, made him the human being and the complex person that I really wanted to write about.
What was it about the Jerry Sandusky Joe Paterno football relationship that worked, and why did they stay together so long? Especially since in the book you talk about the fact that Sandusky always had kids buzzing around him, and that Paterno's reaction to that was that the kids annoyed the hell out of him.
Yeah. Well, they didn't like each other, and that goes all the way back to the beginning. But for a long time. And their relationship really shifted in the 90s, long before the scandal broke or before the first incident. But their relationship in the early years was very, they didn't like each other at all. And it went both ways. But there was something about the way those two coached that really worked. Paterno was a very steely, cold, organized man. He was very, very tough. He was not somebody who you could just, you know, really just kind of go up to and talk to him. I mean, he would joke around now and again, but he was sort of the hard father kind of, you know, figure on this team. And Jerry Sandusky was kind of the older brother. I mean, he was more of a goofball, and he would just kind of, you know, just punch the guys around in the arm. And, you know, when they would complain to him about something Paterno said, he'd say, "Hey, nobody's been yelled at more than I have," and things like that. So for a long time, it worked, and you know, they obviously had tremendous, tremendous success, and this is with Sandusky as both a linebackers coach in his early years and then a defensive coordinator in the early to mid-80s. After that, it changed. I think Paterno felt like Sandusky stopped coaching. I think Sandusky felt like Paterno, didn't want to step down and give, you know, Sandusky the chance to be the coach. It was pretty ugly there for the last few years, and they just kind of stayed with it, and they tried to, you know, Paterno certainly tried several times to move Sandusky into another role. It never quite worked out, and then, of course, in the late 90s, right around the time of the first incident, he kind of pushed Sandusky out into retirement, and of course, we know what happened after that.
You had, of course, great access to Joe Paterno, and the most powerful chapter in this book is that final section. When you talk about sitting alone with Joe Paterno, he had already been fired. He had learned he had lung cancer. You're sitting at the kitchen table. Tell me about that conversation.
Yeah, it was. There were so many moments, you know. I mean, there were really two very, very powerful interview sessions I had with him. One was in the hospital room just a couple of weeks before he died. It was just me and him, him sitting in his hospital bed, and the other is the one you mentioned. And I think specifically, as we were talking, and Paterno was not well. I mean, he was a lot of what was, you know, talked about at the end was, you know, that he could still beat it and all that. But I think he realized pretty soon it was going to be very difficult for him to beat the cancer. And we were sitting at the table, and he was coughing. And at some point in the middle of it, he said to me, he goes, you know, what do you think about all this? And, you know, and I kind of didn't really get what he was saying. And I just said, oh, you know, it's crazy. I thought he meant the whole environment or whatever. And he said, no, I mean, what do you think about this? And I looked at him and I said, you know, you're Joe Paterno, and I think you should have done more. And, you know, I thought he should have followed up. I think a young Joe Paterno would have been more vigilant about this, you know, specific to the one case, 2001, when he was told about an incident in the shower. I said, I think you should have followed up. And he didn't back down from that. I mean, he just kind of nodded and said, I wished I had done more. And I really believe he regretted that. Now, so many of the other things people say about him, that he covered up, that he in some ways was aware of, I don't believe any of it. I really don't. And obviously people are going to have different opinions about that. But my strong opinion is that we were dealing with a man who just literally did not know how to handle it. I don't think that's an uncommon occurrence across the country. It really isn't, and especially for an older man like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he was Joe Paterno. He was a man who held himself and his players and his children and everybody around him to the highest standard, and I think he has to be measured by that highest standard, and I think he understood that.
This is not to defend him in any way, but I have to agree with you. I had a friend of mine, a woman who was elderly, and I remember her one time referring to African Americans as Negroes, and that might sound like it was racist or insensitive, but if you come from a different era, you know, that was the word that you used maybe during that particular time. Not that it was meant in a negative way or a racist way, but you mentioned about the fact that he was old and he was a bit befuddled, and I think that really factored into the fact that he didn't have a clue maybe about these sort of things while he should have had a clue. Am I correct in that observation?
I one of the things that I've said all along throughout this process as I wrote the book and as it's been out is I want people to make up their own minds, but you know, that's how I view it. I think he was older, and he wasn't just older. He was, even though he was a very smart man, even though he was a very learned guy, he'd obviously studied the classics and so on. He'd lived an extremely sheltered existence. I mean, he was a man of the 40s and 50s, and he had spent his entire life in State College, Pennsylvania, coaching football. I mean, this is who he was, and this is what he was about. And I think if somebody had ever been able to say to him in a clear way, Joe, Jerry Sandusky is hurting children, you need to stop him, I have no doubt in my mind he would have stopped him. I really don't. I have no doubt in my mind. I think it's just so much more complicated than that. You know, there was a very, very good and interesting story by Malcolm Gladwell in The New Yorker about how these child predators get away with it. And they do. They get away with it all over the country. And the truth of the matter is that even much younger, much more vibrant, much more, I guess, cynical people are fooled by these sorts of things all the time. And I think, you know, it feels to me and it seems to me that that's what happened here. I know people have different opinions about that and they have their rights to whatever they think. But that is the story that, to me, makes the most sense.
You know, you ask a very, very pertinent question when you said, when people ask me if Penn State was right in tearing down Joe Paterno's statue in light of the Free Report's conclusion, I ask a difficult and a different question. should they have built a statue to him in the first place? And I wonder if there's ever going to be an answer to that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, you asked the question earlier, and I think it's a very good one. Was the tail wagging the dog at Penn State? And I asked you back, is that happening all over the country? You know, as great as a coach as Joe Paterno was, and he was a great coach, and as great a person as he was for Penn State, and he donated millions and millions of his own dollars and raised hundreds of millions probably for the university through the years, do you build a statue to a football coach? I mean, is that really the right thing? And I think people would have to answer that question for themselves, and especially when the man is still alive. It's a very, very hard question to answer. And are your priorities in the right place when you do that sort of thing? Those are tough questions. And then, of course, at the end of the day, you know, they felt like he didn't live up to those extraordinarily and probably unfairly high standards, and they tore the statue down. And I don't know if any of that's right. I mean, again, Joe Paterno was never a saint, but Joe Paterno's not the devil either.
In the final analysis, do you think that his legacy will be most remembered for his football, or do you think it'll be for what happened on the Penn State campus in this situation?
I think it's going to be a muddled legacy, but I think it's more and more and more going to be about football and what he was and who he was. I tend to believe, first of all, we're not through all of it. I mean, there's still a couple of court cases that are, you know, have to be, you know, adjudicated, and there's still some things that are going to come out, I believe. And, you know, some of these things are going to look, you know, bad for Paterno. Some of these things are going to look good for Paterno. I mean, this is how these things tend to go. But I think once we're through all of it, and once people can look back on it without the incredibly difficult emotions that all of us feel, including I feel those emotions. I'm a father. They're horrible emotions to dealing with this story. Once those clear, though, I think you look at a full life. And when you look at a full life, I think it becomes more of a story of a man who lived a full life who, at the end, either made a tragic mistake or did worse, in your opinion. But it's still more... it's a more complete look rather than right now, when I think most people would only know Joe Paterno for what happened at the end.
Joe, having written this book and lived this situation in writing this book, how did it affect you?
Well, it was difficult, you know. I mean, obviously, and it was for me. I mean, I have two young children, and I was separated from, you know, my wife and young children while I was doing this thing, and you know, we were on the phone every day, and it was tough, you know. And obviously, a lot of criticism came my way just for sticking with this book and believing that it was important for me to write it, and it's been those things were difficult, but. You know, when people ask me how I feel about it, you know, they'll say, "Oh, how do you feel about this book?" I my strongest feeling and my strongest sense is I'm very, very proud of it. I mean, it's the best thing I've ever done. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And I think you have to ask yourself the question: is what are you going to do in that moment when you're really being tested? You know, and in this case, I think this was a real test. And, you know, I can't say I did everything perfectly, but I'm very, very proud of the work I did on this book. I'm very, very proud of the way it turned out. And I really do believe that as time goes on, I hope and believe it's going to be the standing record of Joe Paterno.
And a final question in 45 seconds. What do you want people to take away from the book?
I hope at the end of the book they'll know Joe Paterno. I mean, I know that sounds pretty trite and cliched maybe, but I really do believe that. I think this is a complicated man who had many, many differing and at times contrasting values and contrasting, you know, features and so on. And I think at the end of the day, I hope that people will, whatever they take away from it, will feel like I know Joe Paterno now. And I think that's important. I mean, he's been a huge figure in sports. He's obviously was a huge figure in the news the last year, and hopefully at the end of the day, people will recognize him as a man, and that's what I try to do.
Joe, I want to thank you very much, not only for writing this book, because I know it was a difficult undertaking, but also the manner in which you presented it as well, because in the final analysis, readers should come up with their own opinion. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the success of this book.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Joe Posnanski with us, and again, I urge you to check out this book. It's a wonderful read. It's simply called Paterno. We continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.